What's up, everybody? Welcome in. It is your boy, Michael. I got a good one for you guys today. And I did not mean to shake my camera, my bad. But, yeah, like I said, we have a good one tonight. I told you guys we're going to do part two of the last one, which was, are you settling for Ishmael? And, that was more on, are you settling for less than God's best? Today, we're actually doing something that I'm very excited to talk about. Three reasons God wants you wealthy. Three reasons God wants you wealthy. So I want you to share this with somebody. Get them on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, or Kick. What's up, that mysterious Twitch user that I never know who it is, praise God. They're just kind of there all the time. But might be a bot. But, you know, if it is, who cares? I'm happy that they're here. Maybe I can get a bot saved. I'm rocking the Rodney Howard Brown bubble vest right now. You know, nothing wrong with that, in my opinion. Nothing wrong with that. And it was hot. But, you know what's weird? When I wore this today, it actually felt a little bit cooler. So, joke's on you, humidity. Praise God, anyhow. Is it actually called a bubble vest? Because I was thinking, I don't know if that's what it's actually called. Oh, yeah, no, it's called a bubble vest. Good, because I thought I was going to sound really crazy. Well, like I said, today we're talking about three reasons God wants you wealthy. I'm not going to jump into the reasons just yet. I kind of have to, you know, teach a little bit on this thing real quick, because wealth has been such, like, how do I say this? For some reason, my ear wants to itch now all of a sudden, but praise God. Wealth is such a taboo topic in the church. You know, if you talk about money, you're called a heretic. People don't want to be seen around you. People kick you off television networks, but I'm at the place right now where I'm not on any television networks. And most of my friends believe the same thing I do. So praise God anyway. All right. I want you guys, I think what I'm going to say is, first we have to discuss, does God want me wealthy? Now, I jumped the gun a little bit in the title and said, three reasons God wants you wealthy, which I stand on that. But in order for you to believe that for yourself, because the whole point I'm teaching this to you is so that way you can catch this revelation. Okay. So, we're going to talk about, does God want me wealthy? And the first place I want you to go to is Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. All right. I'm going to go ahead and read it. It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. The first thing that we have to talk about is the difference between worldly blessing and godly blessing. Because many people will say, well, that means the sinner man is blessed as well. That means that the guy who's wicked is blessed as well, because, you know, the Bible says he reigns on the just and the unjust. Reigning over the just and the unjust has no bearing on the blessing of God, because the Bible already makes it clear throughout Proverbs and Psalms that the wicked are not, don't have the blessing of God on their life. They may have money, they may be successful, but it has nothing to do with God. The human will is a very powerful thing. And then on top of that, in the natural realm, man is ruler. So the thing about man is that we have dominion on this planet. Obviously, it is a battle, a toss-up between the natural man and Satan. And because Satan is 10 times smarter and 400 times stronger, he's going to beat the natural man out. But if you can grab a hold of this by the Spirit, you can beat him every time. But the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he has no sorrow to it. The way you can tell the difference between the blessing of the Lord and then the regular worldly wealth and riches is a person depressed? How is a person's life? If you listen to somebody and it's like they struggle all day long to get the blessing of God, then you have to wonder, what are they believing in? And check this out. I'm gonna read it in the Amplified. The blessing of the Lord, it makes truly rich, and he adds no sorrow with it, neither does toiling increase it. So working super hard or painfully hard does not give you more of the blessing of God. You have the blessing of God regardless of how, if you try to make things work. Matter of fact, I'm not going to go there just yet. I'm going to save it for the end. And then I'll probably tie it in with this one because I didn't realize they were going to tie together so well. So we're going to go back to this in a little bit. But the blessing of the Lord makes rich. So it's the blessing of the Lord on a person's life, a Christian's life, a sanctified person's life, a person who is who's been washed in the blood, who is righteous. They have the blessing of the Lord. Just because somebody has a lot of money doesn't mean they have the blessing of the Lord. But one of the benefits of having the blessing of the Lord is that you're made wealthy. You're made rich. Amen. And I want you to also check out Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. I'm also going to add in another one because I don't know how I forgot this one, but Psalm 35, 27. Okay. All right. Yeah. Go to Genesis chapter 26, verse 12. All right. Then Isaac sowed in the land, in that land, and received in the same year 100 times as much as he planted, and the Lord favored him with blessings, and the man became great and gained more and more until he became very wealthy and distinguished. He owned flocks and a great supply of servants, and the Philistines envied him. Now all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had closed up and filled with earth. And Abimelech said, Isaac, go away from us, for you are much mightier than we are. Stop there. So you can have the blessing in such a measure that you become too big. You become too big for nations. They became so jealous of him that they tried to stop his flow of money. They tried to stop his flow of supply. But they didn't realize that the flow of supply that he was tapping into had nothing to do with natural means. So where is it? It said he received 100 times. Now this was during a time, I believe it was a drought. If I'm correct, I believe there was a drought at the same time. And so that's why he was seeing so much blessing. And so you can get to a point where you are just doing too well for your enemies. You are getting to a point where people just want you gone. And I was just watching a video about that, where this preacher was saying the time is coming when the world is going to have in a lot of ways a drought. And the blessing of the Lord is what will sustain the people of God, not just sustain them, but cause them to be very well off, to be very successful in their endeavors. When you're righteous, when you're in right standing with God, how are you righteous? You put your faith in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? Psalm 35, 27. I'm going through scriptures because I want to tie this all in together. And it's going to make sense when I'm done. Let those who delight in my righteousness. Is it Psalm 35, 27? Yeah, Psalm 35, 27. Yeah. All right, I'm going to read it in the Psalm 35:27. Let those who favor my righteousness my righteous cause have pleasure in my uprightness, shout for joy, and be glad and say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. So God does not take pleasure in you struggling financially. God does not take pleasure in you struggling to make ends meet. There's a lot of Christians who never see the blessing of God, and people wonder why. And it's simply just because they don't understand that God wants them to be well off, to not just be well off, to live a great lifestyle. The Bible says, if you be willing and obedient, this is in Isaiah. He says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. You're supposed to eat the good of the land. That means the best of the best, the cream of the crop. The cream of the crop. There should be questions about who your God is when you walk into a room. There should be questions from people. Who does this guy think he is? Amen. If you got Christians thinking that, great, you're on your way. Many people already kind of hate me. And I'm not saying that pridefully. I'm saying that because people will say, who do you think you are? Well, the Bible says that I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Praise God. I'm not a beggar. He says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. So if you're seeing that, that means that there's something going on that we're not understanding. So let's tie these together. Before we get into the three reasons why God wants you wealthy, I want you to understand that God wants you wealthy. He wants you wealthy. And you can tell the difference because the wealth of the kingdom does not add any sorrow to it. The wealth of the kingdom adds no sorrow. The wealth of the world adds a toil to it. I can give you a great example. If you go to Luke chapter 4, when Jesus was being tempted, Satan said, hey, just bow down to me once and I can give you all the kingdoms of this world. I can give you it all right now. Just bow down to me once. I just realized, like, does this have a zipper? Oh, yeah, it's on the right side. That's weird. Sorry, I got a little sidetracked. So there is a you have a choice to make. And this is why I preached on the last thing pretty hard. Why settle for Ishmael when you can have Isaac? The blessing of the Lord adds no sorrow. You may have to do some stuff that requires you, that may make you look stupid in the moment, but I guarantee you, you won't look stupid for long. There have been seeds that I've sown. There have been times where I've sown my whole check. But I tell you one thing, I've got a harvest coming back to me. I can't be broke anymore. I can never be broke again because I've sown too much seed in my life. So God wants you wealthy, number one, because the wealth of the kingdom or the blessing of God adds no sorrow when he gives it to you. So you don't have to bow down to Satan. You don't have to, you know, I work really hard. I get like six minutes of sleep and then I'm back up. And it's like, that's not the blessing of God. When you can't sleep, when you're not resting and you're always working to make sure you don't lose anything, that's not the blessing of God. You're just working really hard. And, you know, kudos to you for working really hard to making it happen. But if you would just put the brakes on it and let God be God, you'd see a way bigger increase in your life. You could literally, and I'm not telling you to be a lazy person. The Bible tells us that if a man doesn't work, he's not worthy to eat. But I'm telling you right now, you're not going to get that blessing of God by stressing yourself out. You get that blessing by being considered righteous. How are you considered righteous? By your faith in Jesus Christ. We'll get into that in a little bit. Genesis 26, verse 12 through 13. We just read where the result of the blessing is that in the drought, Isaac sowed and received great harvest. Matter of fact, I'm going to see if I can find that real quick because sowed in famine. Which one was that? Genesis chapter 26, verse 1. Okay, so it was in the same one, but it was a couple verses ahead of it. Genesis chapter 26, verse 1. And there was a famine in the land, other than the former famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I will tell you. Dwell temporarily in this land, and I will be with you and favor you with blessings. To your descendants, I will give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father." I'll go into that in a little bit. "And I will make your descendants to multiply as the stars of the heavens, and I will give to your posterity all these lands, kingdoms, and by your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed," or by him bless themselves. "For Abraham listened and obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commands, my statutes and laws." Okay, so this was around the same time. So there was a famine, he sows the seed, and in the same time, when there's no rain or when there's no crops being produced, this man is producing a hundredfold of what he had sown. So the blessing of the Lord allows you to sow even in a time when the world economic forms against you. When the world is against you, when the whole system is built against you, the blessing of God will cause you to be prosperous even in those times. The Bible says that in Psalm chapter 1, I'll read it real quick because I like it personally myself. He says here, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of where sinners walk, nor sits down to relax and rest where the scornful and the mockers gather. But his delight and desire is in the law of the Lord, and his law, the precepts, the instructions, and the teachings of God. He habitually meditates and ponders and studies by day and by night. And he shall be like a tree planted or firmly planted and tended by the streams of water, ready to bring forth fruit in its season. Its leaf also shall not fade or wither, and everything he does shall prosper and come to maturity. It's not so for the wicked. Those disobedient and living without God are not so, but they are like chaff, worthless and dead, without substance, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked, those disobedient and living without God, shall not stand justified in the judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous." So this also requires you to identify, who are you? Are you righteous or are you a sinner? People try to be cool. You know, "I'm a righteous sinner." Doesn't exist. You have to choose. That's double-minded. Choose who you are. Are you righteous or are you a sinner? Amen. So the blessing of the Lord causes you to reap a harvest in a time when it shouldn't work. And this is why the government is working so hard to silence the church. This is why the harlot system is working so hard to get rid of us. Because it knows that when we get a revelation on the money system that God has set up in place for us, the money system, the currency system, the supply system, the provision system that God has set in place for us, then they've lost all hold on us. That's why you look at communist nations. Guess what their nation's religion is? Atheism. Because if I give you a revelation on God and then you find out who you are in this God, in Christ, guess what? You will always beat me. They understood that because Isaac by himself outperformed the Philistine country by himself. Excuse me. By himself. By himself. That is why it's important for you to understand the blessing of God. And in Psalm 35:27, God delights in the prosperity of his servant. I could give you tons more of scriptures that God has given to us that show that he wants us to prosper. And it goes beyond just saying I have a ton of money. It's about being a walking display of the kingdom of God. It's about being we are the representation. We are the physical, visible representation of an intangible, invisible kingdom. We are a physical representation of a spiritual kingdom. And if there's no evidence of that spiritual kingdom operating in our lives, then what are we doing? What are we doing? Okay. So we got to go to the three reasons that God wants you wealthy, right? Three reasons that God wants you wealthy. Go to Malachi chapter 3. Go to Malachi chapter 3 for me. Will a man rob or defraud God? Yet you rob and defraud me. This is Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. But you say, in what way do we rob or defraud you? This is what God said. This is God, not man. This isn't Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland. This is God. You have withheld your tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes, the whole tenth of your income, into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So I'm going to stop there. Okay? Now, many people will say, well, we can't talk about tithes and offerings because, well, we can't talk about tithing because that's under the old covenant. That's an old law. That's a law that we don't abide by anymore. God doesn't require that from us anymore. That's actually not even true, because Abraham was a tither. Paul was a tither. Jesus was a tither. Jesus was a tither. Amen. And so you have to understand that the first number one reason that God wants you blessed is because you are a tither and a giver. You say, well, I'm not a tither and a giver. Then God doesn't want you wealthy, because he can't trust you with his money. Because God cannot trust you with his money. What makes a person trustworthy to God? What do they do with the money that he gave them? If he can't trust you to give back a tenth to him as a test of your heart, he just said that if you're not tithing, you're robbing him. Well, are you saying that if we don't tithe, we're cursed? I'm not saying that at all. I will say, though, in verse 11, this is what we didn't read. He said, and I will rebuke the devourer, insects and plagues for your sake. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine drop its fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Check that out. So even if I didn't believe in the curse, I don't want to find out, number one. Number two, when I tithe, he rebukes the devourer for my sake. He rebukes the devourer for my sake. Now, for the people that don't believe in the tithe because they believe it's an Old Testament law and we don't have to do that anymore, I promise I'm not sick. I ate something in it. I guess it got stuck in my throat. Praise God. He says, your tithes and offerings. You withheld your tithes and offerings. So you have offerings. You have offerings that people will take nowadays. It'll be people that don't believe in tithing, but they'll be like, if you want to give a free will offering, why? It's all Old Testament, isn't it? He already gave the offering. His life was the offering. Do you not understand, though, that the context of this scripture was that they were literally doing everything else except this. They were doing everything else except tithing and giving. So they couldn't even, God couldn't trust them. He says, will a man rob or defraud God? You have made God out to be like, you have tried to trick God. You have tried to rob God. To you know what I'm saying? From a simple tithe, 10%. So why is there such a battle for this 10%? Because it's a test of the heart. The Bible says wherever your treasure is, so is your heart there also. So if you have a hard time giving your treasure over to God to build the house of God, then you're not worthy to be wealthy. It's not a judgment. This is not me attacking you. This is me saying that this is where you're at. This is where the Bible calls you to be at, and you need to get back on track. Because as long as you're trying to defend not paying your tithes, you're just saying, God, I don't care about the blessing. I just want to go through life in mediocrity. I don't even want, you know, people will try to be like, well, God, you know, you can still bless me anyway. No, he can't. He literally says, and prove me now by it, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing, and there should not be enough room to receive it. Do you understand this? That he says, improve me now, that this is the only time in the Bible you ever hear God say, improve me now in this. This is the only time you're saying, all right, God, I'm putting you to the test. I'm going to give my tithe. Boom. He has to perform it. You could be living holy right now, but you're withholding money from God. You're considered a thief and a robber. You're a thief and a robber. I hate to say it. So first, that first reason that God wants me wealthy is because I want you to say this with me and put it in the comments. I am a tither and I am a giver. I am a tither and I am a giver. Number two. Go to Galatians. Yeah, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Verse 13. Christ purchased our freedom, redeeming us from the curse or the doom of the law and its condemnation by himself becoming a curse for us. For it is written in the scriptures, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree or is crucified. To the end that through their receiving Christ Jesus, the blessing promised to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles so that we through faith might all receive the realization of the promise of the Holy Spirit. So he says, to the end that though they're receiving Christ Jesus, through their receiving of Christ Jesus, the blessing promised to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. I'm going to read that in the ESV real quick. Verse 13. Why did it go all the way back down here? That makes no sense. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to those to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Okay? So number two, the reason why God wants me blessed is because of the blessing of Abraham that I received through faith in Jesus Christ. That I received through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, what is the blessing of Abraham? Because, you know, many people will say, yeah, I have the blessing of Abraham, but they don't know what it is. So go to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. That right there is your covenant with, that is the Abrahamic blessing. I'm going to read it again. Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. So you have to go, you have to be in a place where it's just you and God. And I will make you a great nation. That means God will keep adding people to you. I will bless you and make your name great. That means I will build up your reputation. Okay? And he says, I will bless those that bless you. So anybody that attaches themselves to you in a good way, God is going to make sure that they receive a portion of the blessing. Okay. And then he says, and though and who him who dishonors you, I will curse. That means, obviously, anybody who rises up against you, God will deal with. And that's why God wants us to pray for our enemies so that we can be an intercessor or a mediator for that person. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Well, check that out. Because guess what? When I received Christ, I received the same blessing he did. So now Christ, now Abraham is my father in the faith. I want to tell you a story. One time I was working at this job, and this girl started spreading rumors about me, saying that I was doing stuff. And, you know, they told me, you know, she had a crush on me. And I'm not saying that to be all like, you know, yeah, I'm all that. But I remember people were stressing, like, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I told my boss, I said, don't worry about it. She'll quit in about 2 weeks. Well, I think it was like the next day or 2 days later. I didn't work for like 2 or 3 days after that. I come back. He said, hey, so she handed in her 2 weeks notice. And then what happened was when she tried to go to the higher ups about the situation, they didn't, they came down back to us and said, hey, so what really happened? We told them what was going on. And they ended up like throwing her whole side of the story away. Because she was operating out of a divisive spirit, but not just that. She came against one of God's blessed servants. I knew that God was with me in that situation. So there was no way for her to win. And it's not about me being better than her. It's the blessing of God. It's the blessing of Abraham. So anybody that comes against you, people have to be careful. And that's why we pray for mercy, because sometimes people really don't know what they're doing. So number two, the blessing of Abraham. That's your second reason why God wants you wealthy, because you've received the blessing of Abraham by faith in Christ Jesus. Now, number three, I want you to go to Romans chapter 8, verse 32. Romans chapter 8. All right. What then? Yeah, why not? We'll start from verse 31 because I like it. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? I want you to realize that God's best gift he ever gave to us was Jesus Christ. It's not like, you know, people act like money is up here and, you know, we should be fine with Jesus, but we're going too far when we ask God for money. You know what I mean? No. We just need to be fine with Jesus. To go up here and ask for money, you must be out of your mind. That's not how he sees it. He sees it as, I gave you my son. Now, guess what? Everything else under that, it's fair game. Look, you want it? Look, you can have it. That's how God sees it. So when we have to get our perception of wealth straight, that Christ is the best of God, not money, not health, not blessing. Look, those are all great things. But the best gift that God ever gave to us was his son, Jesus Christ. And so when I go to God and say, Father, thank you for provision, I'm not going too far. Whoa, it's too much. No, I'm actually way below the quota. You know what I'm saying? He already gave me, this is the lid. The son of God came down and shed his holy blood for me. And this is where money is, right here. So when I say, Lord, thank you for provision, I'm not going like, you understand what I'm saying? Praise God. Praise God. So don't be afraid to believe God for big things, because no matter how much you try to give, no matter how much you try to you know, ask for things and believe for things, you're not touching God's surface, man. You're still just barely scraping it, bro. Many times we think, you know, God's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Stick to my son. Stick to the blood. You know what I mean? It's like, no. And I want you to catch this, that when they talk about Abraham, right, as the father, as father of many nations, when they talk about Abraham as our covenant forefathers, he's our covenant forefather. He's not just Israel's covenant forefathers. Through Christ, through the spiritual bloodline of Christ, we have now been grafted in to Abraham's family. And so now we are Abraham's descendants. That means the blessing that was on him done traveled down to me. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let's go over that one more time. First off, your first reason God wants you blessed is because you're a tither and a giver. You are basically saying, Father, this I am a vessel that money flows through. Think of a sink. If your sink is clogged and it doesn't work, or the faucet is broken, God, no, I'm not going to use the sink that's broken because no water is coming out of it. Water may be going into it, but it's not coming out. You see what I'm saying? So I have to make sure that it's fixed. How do I fix it? Well, in this case, be a tither, be a giver, give your 10%. And then when the Holy Spirit says, hey, give this amount, remember, the Holy Spirit's not trying to get you to go without. He's trying to get something to you. You understand? Like, I have no doubt in my mind that that boy that gave the two fish and the five loaves of bread walked home with all of that stuff. I hate when this thing does that. I'm trying to keep it like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why does it do that? Yeah, I don't really care. Sorry. So being a tither and a giver, you become a conduit of the blessing of God. You become a, like Abraham was told, you will be a blessing. Many times people are asking God, Lord, help that poor family on the street. And God's like, you help that poor family on the street. You help them. I remember one time I was asking the Lord, I was like, Lord, I just want opportunities to give, man. And then he gave me an opportunity and I was like, oh, and then I was like, you know what? I'll do it. But guess what? When you give, you are setting yourself up to be a rich son of a gun. To be a wealthy son of a gun. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Because you are saying, God, no amount of money, no paycheck can keep me from trusting in you. In the natural, it'd have made more sense for me to keep $278 in some odd cents. Remember I told you guys, I gave almost $1,000 one time. I gave $900 one time. Got a harvest coming. God bless. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Amen. So you are blessed. God wants you blessed and wealthy because you are a tither and a giver. Number two, because the blessing of Abraham has now come upon you through faith in Jesus Christ. Through faith in Jesus Christ, you are now rich as Abraham was rich. You are now a blessing, just as Abraham was a blessing. We already talked about the blessing of Abraham. You will be blessed. God is going to shower you with blessings. I remember Smith Wigglesworth used to say, he was an old-time evangelist, for those of you that don't know. He was an old-time evangelist, and he said, my God takes care of me in grand style. So you have to trust that the blessing of God, the blessing of Abraham belongs to you. And number three, the love of God. The love of God. Remember, he said, if he already gave us his only son, how much more? I'll read it again. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? All things. Matter of fact, I believe it's, I might be wrong on this, but I'm going to take a venture out here. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The point is, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely as he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but also is overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. So you have, when you give, you are basically, like I said, you are causing the blessing or the favor of God. He says to make all favor abound toward, all grace abound towards you. That means all favor. Hallelujah. I want you to type in the comments, I have all favor. I have all favor. I don't have some favor. I'm not struggling to get favor. I have all favor because I'm a tither and a giver. God is able to make all grace and favor abound towards you because you're a tither and a giver and you are the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, here's the caveat. After all of that, I want you to go to Deuteronomy 8:18. I might go even higher than that just because I think we're going to see, though. Verse 17, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. Verse 18, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers. Your fathers, that's my father, that's your fathers. And he says, as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve them and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord makes to perish before you, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. So you have to settle in your heart. I'm not the one that caused the money to come. I'm not the one that caused the harvest to come. I am simply watching God do what he promised he would do. I do my part. Guess what that is? I am a tither, I'm a giver, and he's the one that makes all grace abound toward me. I can't make all grace abound me or grace toward myself because I'm just me. But he knows everybody everywhere. He knows how to make stuff happen, praise God. And I'm telling you, if you can get a revelation of this in your spirit, you will not be struggling anymore. You won't look at your bank account, even if it says $5, and be like, I'm not telling you I'm walking around with hundreds of thousands of dollars in my bank account, but I'll tell you one thing. I'm not walking around nearly as worried as I was when I was before I got this revelation. I'm walking around saying, Father, I thank you that the harvest is on its way. Angels, cause the word to work and bring the harvest to me. Cause the word to work. They are out there. They are performing God's will on your behalf right now. If you're a tither and a giver, amen. The biggest hindrance on this list for most people, if they don't get this, is that they're not tithers and givers. Just become a tither and a giver. And I'm not trying to get you to give to my ministry. This is not what I'm doing. The ministry, look, I can honestly say this with all, like, no shame, no guilt, nothing. No need for anything. The ministry is taken care of. God has blessed us. And I don't take money out of the ministry either. The money for the ministry stays in the ministry. I read about Eli and his sons, and God went in on them. I don't want him to go in on me. I don't touch it. I don't care. Well, it's just like $10 for lunch. No, look. And you have to settle in your mind. Remember, he says here, it is he who gives you power to create wealth. You have to make up in your mind. If God doesn't make it happen, I don't want it. I'm not going to the bank. I'm not taking out loans. I don't even care. Look, I don't care about credit scores. I'm not taking out another loan. I did that for school. It is one of the worst decisions I ever made in my life. I'm not going for another loan. I'm not asking for money. If I can't afford it, I cannot afford it right now. But I am going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to give. I'm going to preach this word to myself. I'm going to receive this thing for myself. But I'll be doggone before I go to another person and say, hey, can I borrow $5 for lunch? I'm really hungry. Go on a fast. If you can't afford a $5 burger, go on a fast and say, Lord, I'm not eating till you provide some money. Because that's what's happening anyway. Hey, Mom. Get that revelation in your spirit that once you become a tither and a giver, the blessing of God overtakes you. Boom. The blessing of Abraham becomes a part of you, grafted into you as you've been grafted into it. And now everywhere you go, the people that are attached to you in a good way will receive a portion of the blessing. Anybody who's against you will not receive it. And that Jesus is the lid for all blessing. And if Jesus is up here, the blessing is like money is such a low thing to ask God for. So ask him. It seems big to us because we're finite human beings. But to God, he's like, yo, I gave you my son. His blood was shed. He didn't even do anything wrong. And you're worried about asking me to help you pay rent. You're worried about asking me to help you pay for school. Ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah. You're asking me to help you to pay to start off a business, to pay off these bills. You think I gave you my son. And then on top of that, the greatest show of my power was raising him from the dead. And you're worried about bills? Ha, ha, ha. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed. And that's the thing. That's the thing people have got to get in their brain. If you are ashamed of the blessing of God, you won't walk into it. I almost didn't name this live stream, Three Reasons God Wants You Wealthy, because it asserts that I believe God wants you wealthy. I didn't want to deal with the attack. I was going to name it, Does God Want Me Wealthy? No dip. You can go through the whole Bible. I just listed off 8 scriptures. That's only 8 scriptures. No, and then we read another one. So 9 scriptures that prove God wants you wealthy. Well, God wants you wealthy because, you know, because that way we can finance the kingdom. That's part of it. Matter of fact, I'm going to give you a Bible scripture that proves that God wants to bless you because he actually loves the mess out of you. Watch this. Now, the wife of one of the sons of the prophets cried to Elisha, my husband is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, but the creditor has come to take my 2 children to be his slaves. And Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what have you in the house? And she said, your servant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. Then he said, go outside, borrow vessels from all your neighbors and empty vessels and not a few. So he was prepared for the overtaking blessing of God. Hallelujah. Then go in and shut the door behind yourselves and your sons and pour into all these vessels. And when one is full, set it aside. So she went from him and shut the door and behind herself and her sons. And as she poured, they brought the vessels to her. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. He said to her, there is not another one. Then the oil stopped flowing. She came and told the man of God, and he said, watch this. This is where the revelation comes in. Go and sell the oil and pay your debts, and you and your son can what? Live off of the rest. You and your son can live off of the rest. the overflowing blessing of God takes care of your bills, takes care of giving, and then there's still a lot left over for you and your family to live all right, to live good. If you be willing and obedient, she was willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But you've got to believe that. You can't be going around to every preacher. Well, I know we all want to be blessed, but how many know God has his reasons? God sovereignly chooses who he wants blessed. Bullcrap. Bullcrap. No, that's not true. I don't believe it. And I'll never profess that because that's a lie from the pit of hell. God wants you blessed, and you have to make a choice to obey the covenant rules that he's given you. Faith in Jesus and be a giver. Be a giver. I don't say, no, don't say, I give a lot of money. I give a lot of money. So do freaking sinners. You have to be in your mind, I'm a giver, because it's the nature of God to be a giver. Make up in your mind that you are going to be a giver. That you are born again as a giver, that you just love to give. That is the only addiction that God will support, is giving. He gives seed to the what? The sower. Yeah. Guess where your seed is? He doesn't get, your seed is in the fruit. So when God gives you the harvest, you take the seed out of the harvest and you plant that seed. So you take the tithe out of it, and then you take the seed out of it. The seed is however much. The seed has the power to cancel debt. Praise God. Has the power to cancel all debt. The seed has the power to destroy debt. And I'm going to challenge you guys today, after I pray for some people. Look, I spoke about the blessing of God. If you don't have Jesus, you can't operate in this blessing of God. You gotta receive the blessing of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Believing that he is Lord, that he died on the cross for your sins, that he was resurrected, and now that he sits at the right hand of the Father, he makes intercession for you. You now live in him and have your being. We are only righteous. We are only cool with God because of what Christ did. And I'm okay with that. Because if it was based on me, dude, I'd have been smitten 4 years ago. 20 years ago. Praise God. God is good to me. Is he good to you? He's good to me. Receive this. But you've got to receive Christ first. So if you've never made that decision to serve Jesus Christ, to give him your whole life, to make him Lord, maybe you did and you fell away. Now's the time to receive him. I want you to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I admit that I've sinned. I repent. I believe in my heart you raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life and fill me with the Holy Spirit as you promised you would. In Jesus' name, amen. So now you've been made righteous. You have a new character. You are a new person. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. You are now a giver. Now, operate in that new identity. You have to determine, I'm a tither and a giver, and I'm going to act in that. But the covenant is two ways. After you and God have to both do your parts. Once I give, God brings the increase. He says it right here. I'll read it to you again, just for the sake of it. It's in 2 Corinthians. I already read it, but I like reading it because it's pretty good. 2 Corinthians 9. He says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times. Now watch this. We're going to go down a little bit. He says he supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, will supply and multiply your seeds for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Now remember, this is after he just finished talking to them about giving. Not just giving, but giving money, because he came to get the offering they said they were going to give to support another church. Amen. So take this time. If you feel led to give, don't give if you don't feel led to give. Look, I challenge you to sow a seed of any size. Give 200. Yo, that'd be crazy. That'd be the biggest donation we ever got. What is the biggest donation we ever got? 50, I think. Which is still good. We've got two of those. Praise God. It's been really good. But yeah, so make a decision to sow. If you feel like sowing into the what we're doing here, here's the information. You can go to destinyyth.com/give, or you can go to DYGive on Venmo or Cash App. We also take PayPal, which is destinyyth. Zelle is infodestinyyouth@gmail.com. And we also take crypto. You can scan the QR code, or if you really don't like QR codes, or if you're watching on your phone, you can always go to destinyyth.com/give, and all the information will be there as well. And we say thank you in advance for your giving. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And yeah. So that's the giving information. I'll even put it in the chat. So it's there as well. Might take a minute, but who cares? And there it is. Yep, all the ways are in the chat as well. But we appreciate your giving. Father, we thank you that every person that decides to give right now or on replay, we thank you, Lord, that you're multiplying it back to them 100-fold. We thank you, Lord, that they will abound in all things, that you'll make all grace abound toward them in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that they're going to have money testimonies in the name of Jesus. We give you praise for it now. And everybody said, amen. All right. Well, I will see you guys on Monday. Don't know what we're going to talk about yet, but it's going to be a good one. I don't know, but I'm believing God for a mighty move of God on these live streams. Father, I thank you for sending in the people. Sending in the viewers in Jesus' name. All right, guys. Well, I'll see you guys next time. You guys have a good one. Peace.